One day they asked me before lunchtime, did the Lord ever give you a message? I told them I had three or four of them. And I believe everybody, every minister here has got some message. See, every minister here, I'm sure of that. I had a precious thing happen to me not long ago. I was just about preached out, and I was kind of going along, kind of musing along, and the Lord just told me, just as plain as we could speak to other, He said, I've got thousands of messages that haven't been preached yet. And just loaded me up right there, just loaded me up. So, I'm thankful for this being here, and I know, hope you don't bore you, it's been 4 or 5 years since I've been up here, this pulpit. So I'm sure I haven't overdone it, really. So, in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, down to the 10th verse, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, that's my text. I intended to go back some from that, but I need your prayers. I realize, I said that one time, I said I need your prayers, and one brother said we've already prayed, now you preach. And we just still need prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of the devil are at much odds against each other. You're talking about a contention. There's a real contention there. They're contrary to each other. And the devil never has talked the Lord off guard. And the Lord is greater and has greater power than all other powers. Sometimes it seemed like when Brother Stevens was over with us, living there with us for quite a while, we appreciate him and all, and he'd gotta get after us about, look like we testify sometimes to the devil. I understand somewhat what he means. The Lord and His power is greater than all other powers. Yes. Now the Lord said to Moses, I want to deal with the thought I am, but I don't want to deal with it. We'll get on to this. This is quite a ways down the line. This one I read. When the Lord talked to Moses about going to deliver His people and so on, Moses was fearful about what the people would say to him. Who told you to do this? And so on, see. Well, what did the Lord tell him? Did you tell him that I am sent you? I am is a positive, definite statement. You know, sometimes the enemy, we just try to have a person to kind of wallow around in things that they can't really bring out something definite on. But with the Lord, it's not so. He said, you tell them, I am, sent you. I am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, He didn't just say that and just as a remark, but He was the bread of life. I am the bread of life. When Martha and Mary and the brother had died, and they were grieving about it, and he told them that thy brother shall rise again. And they said, well, we know he will in the resurrection, in the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I want to say again, I need your prayers and cooperation. The Lord, doesn't want the enemy to have any advantage whatsoever over his people. That's right. I'm going to just make a statement like Sister Wilson told me one time. She said she hadn't always had the victory, but one time she didn't have it, she was after it. I say that same thing. The Lord said, you tell them, I believe that's in the third chapter of Exodus, is it not? The third chapter of Exodus. You see 14? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Just a plain, definite statement. One brother one time kind of grieved me. He said, somebody told him he wasn't saved, and he said, I guess I'm not saved. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and if the devil told him, oh, you're just proud, and you're trying to boast, and this and that and the other, he still was the bread of life. Conditions round about and things that said and things that imagined and the way things look and all does not change a positive definite fact. They said that Jesus was just the carpenter's son. But he was the Son of God. They said, why, we've done whatever it is here. His brothers are with us, and his sisters are with us. But he was still the Son of God. He said, I am the bread of life. I believe Thomas, questioning him one time, said, Lord, how are we going to know the way? He said, I am the way. Now, I have a purpose in talking this way to you. Several places in the scripture, it said, I am. When the Apostle Paul, ninth chapter of Acts of the Apostles, when he was going down to Damascus, and a voice spoke to him from heaven. He said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Now I desire, the purpose in my heart, looks like I could do it in about 5 minutes, but I don't believe it can, to establish a sound fact that there's a lot of difference in God's voice
and the devil's voice. Now, some might say it's kind of hard to tell the difference in them, but I want to say that the devil never has been I am. He never will be. I believe in the 90th Psalm. Not sure of that. Now, this, we cannot go to all these scriptures and read them. It takes too long. We've been going kind of on the young people's meeting anyway. It said, the darkness and the night are all the same to you. Speaking of the Lord. That to the Lord. Or it again, that in Him is no darkness at all. Isn't that right? In Him is no darkness at all. St. John said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus, our example, I know this. Never at any time did the devil have him in the least puzzle matter who he was. You believe that? There was never a minute in the life of Jesus when he was in the least puzzle as to what he was and who he was. When the devil comes to him in the 4th chapter of Matthew, when he fasted 40 days and nights and had not eaten, he was hungry, and he said, if you be the Son of God, make these stones bread. There wasn't any if about it. I am God's Son. There wasn't any if about it. He said, the devil went on there in a couple of more trials, said, took him on this pinnacle, said, jump off, said, for it's written, forgive his angels charge over thee, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Just in every way he could, trying to hang him up. But I want to say, for not one moment that the devil have any thought of Christ's life. The turn of his stand of being the Son of God. We were at a meeting in California. There was in young people's meeting, a young sister stood on her feet and testified to the saving grace of God, beaming with victory. And it wasn't 2 hours later till she was weeping at the altar. It was nothing more or less than the devil talking to us. I want to say, dear ones, that we can have this thing. We can have this thing. I'm what I am. By the grace of God, that's what I am. Jesus laid down a pattern for us. And if we'll follow that closely, we'll be all right. The brother that said, someone said to him he wasn't saved, said, well, I just guess I'm not. Self-pity involved there. And I'll guarantee you this, that the devil will try to argue every one of us out of what we have from the Lord. I know of a young couple. The man whom his mind is been off somewhat, and a serious accusation against his wife. He's heard some things, actually even through imaginations, I'm sure, seen some things, and regardless of how much you talk to him about it, he still believes that. Now, don't you know that without help from God, that would be a serious thing? Don't you know, Daniel, whenever the king wouldn't tell him what the dream was, said, "You're going to have to tell me the dream and the interpretation of it." Don't you know if there hadn't have been a God in heaven that could talk plain, he'd been his brother? But Daniel said to him, something like this, "Lord, you know the thought. You know all about me." And the Lord told him what the king dreamed and told him the interpretation of it. My salvation does not exist simply because one of you or all of you say that I'm saved. I would not necessarily be unsaved if one of you or all of you said it was unsaved. But I am what I am. I am what I am. The Lord wants us to come to a place where every little old wind and holy word or something floating around in the air don't find its way down into our heart. Not long ago, the devil was talking to me about being sanctified. I don't listen to him much because I don't care anything about talking with him. But he has the privilege to talk to us. Like a brother said, you can ring the telephone and it'll ring just as loud when your enemy calls as when your friend calls. But you can hang up when you find out who it is. And the devil said to me, "You know you're not sanctified." I said, "Now, devil, you just watch whose spirit I saw." My life is given to the Spirit of God. I know that. I know it better than any of you know it. I am what I am. Makes my heart sad when I see how the enemy takes advantage, especially of our young people. You young people in school, may God help you to get something out of my burden. We're living in a wicked, desperate age, bumping shoulders with the world. We're in the world, but not of it. That's definite. You got to put this thing down, definitely the devil takes advantage of it. We're in the world, but not of it. Sometimes we'll be caught in the presence of others, and the conversation will not be going along that will be edifying to the Lord.
and we can turn and walk away. The devil's say, see there? See how you stand there listening to that?
I want to hell, devil! I didn't care a thing about that conversation. God knows it. And God knows. I'm going to bring out something that I feel like it just plagued the faith. Did my life for some time. That is being so afraid what people think of it. Did you know you can get under such a bondage as that, take all the freedom out of your life and happiness? Come to the altar. Never was a freer man. Whenever he comes to God, and God rolled his sins away, there never was a freer man on the face of the earth than that man. But I want to say, many times done through carelessness, someone trying to measure him up too fast. Someone trying to measure him up too fast. I believe in measure to it. I believe in its standard. But I want to say, when you measure a person faster than the joy coming along with it, it is not good. There is a joy comes with measuring when it's done in the right way. But whenever it's a going yoke, God never had anything to do with it. Remember that.
When it's a galling yoke, the Lord never had anything to do with it. In this age, when nearly every home we go into, there's a picture show in it. You're standing there at the door and it's looking right at you. Sometimes that's standing there long enough to say hello and goodbye. The devil will say, yeah, you kind of hypocrite around. You watch it. Yeah, you watch it. You watch it.
You couldn't
get together. No, you couldn't. Say, dear one,
God wants us to be just what we are and know what we are and stand where we are.
Amen.
The Lord knows our heart. Young people, God knows your heart. He knows you're not lusting after those old fancy television programs if you did have to look at one for 2 minutes.
Amen.
Just as soon as you can get away from it, get away from it.
Right.
Hadn't seen our brother and our oldest brother in nearly 4 years, and went up to see him a few weeks ago and stepped in the door, and there that thing was, it's a charging. And we just, I love him. Love him much. I love him dearly. We were in the service together overseas. Shed tears together. I love him. But there was a program that had so much drawing power to them, I just had to go in the other room and lay down across the bed and I got through with it. The Lord does not want us to subject our souls to trouble. He wants us to get away from it. But say, dear one, God knows our heart. And let's don't let the devil read nothing around to be shaky about our spirit. That's right.
I say that it's actually been a plague among us to great extent of having that what people think of me. I do not want to be misunderstood. Please do not misunderstand me. We need to live a life that others will see God. We need to watch our influence and protect it. But a person can get under such a, the devil can get a person under such a bondage they're not free, no liberty, and I can take all joy out of living for the Lord.
I know a free preacher that come walking out of three beer joints one night. It's fake preacher.
Wouldn't you go into a beer garden to keep a man from getting killed? I was one of them.
Man was in trouble with you.
Going to take another's life. We're just as saved when we went come out of that place as what when we went in there. I want to say, dear ones, that's not sound. Just what people think about that. Not sound doctrine. Just what people say and what they think about things. Then I don't suppose there was ever a man on earth thought any more wrong a gift than Jesus. But it did not in any way cast a reflection or change his life.
Many right among us have been that that's all they think about, what people will think of me. I don't do nothing. I don't see nothing.
Or so you know you won't be nothing. That's right.
We must not come out of a place that we're so afraid somebody will say something that we won't work for the Lord.
That's right. Lord help us.
I say that is a plague. An actual plague.
What do people think of me? What do people think of me?
If you live a fair, clean life for God and led by God's Spirit, there's going to be a lot of things said about you.
That's right.
But you can say, I am what I am by the grace of God.
The Lord don't want us
I believe just what I'm talking about, dear one. I believe it. The Apostle Peter, in his denial of Jesus, he followed a fall. And when the pressure was on him, he failed. There's no doubt about it. He did fail. He failed.
I'm going to say, if he was living in the day we're living in, and the way some people would have talked to him after he failed, he'd have sure needed the grace of God. He sure wouldn't need it. We have no record that anyone ever said anything to him about that.
I'm sure when Christ looked at him, that was plainly proof. I'm sure of that. That was the Lord. That was there's a difference in correction of the Lord and the accusation of the devil.
Now then. Less than 2 months later, that man that denied the Lord and swore preached the message and 3,000 souls got saved.
Now, did that happen? Did that happen?
You mean that man that swore did that? He sure did. He surely did. And they try to turn it around.
It'll be years before he'll ever get that straightened up.
Less than 2 months, he preached a message and 3,000 souls were saved.
He wasn't fooling around about his failure.
He wasn't fooling around in the money grubs about his failure.
He was going on. He was going on. And no doubt he could say just what Paul did. I am what I am by the grace of God.
A lot of the saints and young people, the devil just keeps harassing them over the past failures.
That's right. They don't want to testify, and the devil says, well, let's see. You didn't tell your wife this year. And what they gonna think of you?
What difference does that make what they think of you? If you're saved, you're saved.
Thank you.
Now don't get up and testify you're saved when you're not saved. But if you're saved today, you're getting bound for heaven if you've been saved 40 years. That's right. Now, is that not true that that same man, that swore,
somebody said, why, look at his influence. Look at that preacher's influence. You see what he did? They all saw it that night. Look at that preacher's influence. Well, you might have never heard me say this before, but I'm saying it. Look at that preacher's influence.
I want to read from the 18th Psalm, verse 50. The 18th Psalm. This is really good to my soul because in the 25th verse, start reading. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Talking of the Lord. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Now here's the verse I want to come to. For thou wilt light my candle. You know, we got this thing turned around sometimes. We say, it seems like people are expecting their candle to burn just like someone else thinks it ought to burn. God likes your candle. God likes your candle. I suffered many years from what people said and thought about me. That's right, just didn't have enough understanding to get out of money. Just picked up a ball one time to throw it, and here come the devil, just coming ball on the candle. Thank you, one. God will light our candle for us. That's right. If our candle is ever lit, God will have to light it. If we ever have any influence, it'll have to come from God. Our influence does not come altogether from people. Gamaliel understood that. And they were after the saints back there in Acts the Apostles. He said, if this work is of man, it'll come to naught of itself. But if it's of God, you cannot stop it. You cannot overthrow it. It said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Dear ones, let's go turn this around the wrong way. A lot of people so afraid to visit the sick. Just, what does somebody think of me praying over there? What is? Yes? Someone in need, go help them. God knows our heart. God knows our heart. Saints, I know what I'm talking about. Many souls have been hindered just because the devil would tell them, look what someone will think about you. Look what someone thinks about you. That's right. It's not. It doesn't have to be no person say that. He's the devil will say. Look what someone will think about you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No doubt in my mind
There was people there just kind of scorning him when that man was dead there in the city. But he brought him out just the same. He brought him out just the same. It's a burden on my heart that each one of us, individually, I'm not talking about separating from each other, but individually, we have such a determination and be so subtle in the things that we speak of that the devil won't have a chance.
So is all the matter.
Many a soul among the saints have gone to the hospital because they listened to the devil and did not listen to God. Afflicted in their body, come to them with accusations against the saints. They won't come and pray for you like they ought to at all. If we have faith in God, as we should have, the devil cannot read nothing of those things. That's right.
We're just what we are, dear one. I am what I am. Now, someone might say you're not very much. Well, that's true, too. But I'm just what I am. I'm just what I am. Some might say you need some help from the Lord. Well, that's true. But I'm just what I am. I'm just what I am. You're just what you are. You're just what you are. You might be helped from the Lord too, but you're just what you are. Some folks get discouraged because their testimony don't sound like someone else. It's not supposed to. Not supposed to sound like someone else. Supposed to sound like you.
Supposed to sound like you. This is a burden on my heart, dear one. A burden on my heart. I knew a brother, afflicted brother, and had been a little friction between a couple of brothers. And the devil, I was in neutral territory, and the devil just said all kinds of things to him for going to business, and that brother was sick. Said I was petting the devil on the back, and I was doing this and that and the other. Don't make any difference what the devil said. I had a love in my heart for that brother that was dying. If there was some friction between them, I still love them, love both of them. I think I know what I'm talking about. You can get to thinking these things over and what people are going to think about it, what this and that, then it's me. Me and my brother John, that's four and no more. That's about what it's been.
A pretty hard trial in my life. Seems hard to me, but of course we know we don't suffer any uncommon man.
And the elderly brother, some false accusations against it. And if he had died suddenly and been in the casket and I walked by and said I did all I could to see him make heaven, regardless of how we felt about it. Then one, the devil will rob his soul of blessing because of what people think about things. Robbing souls of blessing that they could have if they can't murder that thing. Remember this. The very few of you ever swore against the Lord
at a time like Peter did at that time.
Even if you practically, very doubtful you said, you swore about it.
Some of you might have. Wouldn't make much difference there. Of course, sense it doesn't.
But remember this. Regardless of the handmaid said, look at him in foot, and look at this, and look at that, he preached a message and 3,000 souls were saved. He did not fiddle around there with what people said about it. And his old Savior, he lost on out in the way of the Lord. Since the burden on my heart, dear ones, I must desire to get this to us today. I know from which I speak.
Went to visit that sick brother, and the devil, and even some people just patting the devil on the back. The devil was there, but well, the people weren't. And the people didn't know anything about what did happen. Didn't know a thing about what happened. Was honest with his soul.
Honest with his soul! It should come to me. Tension pretty high. And I got sick out of him before he passed away. His wife and him both said, "We'll come back to me. We'll come back to me." Just as soon as we get up here, he never did get up. But I want to say, if we had someone having to go there and talk to him about that, and he had died with that friction there, I'm wondering about what would have happened to his soul. Sure, we're going to have to take things said like just patting the devil on the back, just kind of sympathizing with the devil, but if we could get a soul saved or cleared up for that, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it? If we can get on to some old drunkard, take him home with us, feed him up a little bit, and get some help to him, would it be worth it? Oh, I'm afraid he might get the sheep dirt.
Might even have life and bring him in the home.
Yeah. Might even have life and bring him in the home here. And what would the neighbors say? What difference does it make what they think? What difference does it make, dear ones, when you're doing good? Now, I'm not talking about suffering for your faults now. I want you to understand that. I'm not talking about failures and chastisements of the Lord. I'm not, that's a different message. That's a different message altogether. But dear ones, we've been plagued with what do people think about this or that. What do they think about this? Finger pointing. The Lord loves us, dear one. Well, I love us. And many of our young people have gotten under that phrase of just being so fearful and so afraid to even talk and things like that. I know that's so. The devil works strong that way. And things that happen in school, some of the older folks won't understand it and say something to them that really don't understand what they're talking about. And the devil takes advantage of it. And the devil takes advantage of it. To everyone here, we can all say that with all confidence. That's all it is. We didn't get saved. By our feelings. We did not get saved. I'm going to say this. We did not get saved by how many tears that we shed. Tears all right. Not saying anything against tears. Not saying anything against tears. But we are not saved because of the tears that we shed. We are saved when we confess to the Lord our sin and believe in the shed blood of the Son of God and testify to it for faith. A lot of people will only testify when they feel good and they're strong in the body. You're no more saved then than you are when you're just barely moving. The burden on my heart, just in a small package, is that we can have something the devil can't argue us out of. That's what I'm getting at. We can all say, I am saved. We can say that. We cannot get to thinking about it.
Well, now, I just wonder, don't look like somebody has any confidence in me.
It's like somebody looked at me like they didn't think I'd say it. Or somebody, oh, dear one, let's get this right so it won't be arguing out of it. Brother called a man preaching to us one time and said, was kind of groaning about something they didn't do. Said they were shedding tears and all, they were downcast. He said, I didn't do it, and the Lord knows I didn't do it, and so on. And he said, well, if you didn't do it, and the Lord knows you didn't do it, shut up about it.
You keep talking to the devil about things, dear one, and he'll maneuver you around. When Eve first started talking to him, she was all right. The first few things she said to him was all right. But it wasn't very long until he maneuvered her around in a position just as drunk fast. It wasn't very long till he did. Whenever we find out, when we answer that telephone, and we find out it's the devil, hang up on it. Hang up on it. He's up to no good. No matter if he calls you when whatever condition he calls you, even if you were shouting about the time he called, he's up to no good. He's up to no good. We can all testify, I am saved. A positive, definite statement. Some people say, I've been trying to do the right thing. You know that gives the devil room to work. Now that's right. I'm not going to tell you to tell that to anybody. But if you were to say, I've been trying to do what's right, the devil will just get you out to yourself a little later and say, that's right. You've just been trying. You haven't been making it. You know that, dear one? You've just been trying. You haven't been making it. And if you can listen to that very long, you'll just be trying again. I'm talking about things that I know about. My friend that I talked to the other day, he come over to me. I told him I know in whom my faith is fixed. I know in whom I trust. I know that Christ abides in me and all his ways are just. Dear one, God wants us to have this thing so the devil can't shake us around. And with the teaching and instruction that we have and we are privileged to have, we can all pray with you. I am sanctified. You get up and testify, and if you are sanctified, and you get up and testify and you say, glad to be saved, encouraged, about the time you sit down, didn't tell him you're sanctified, did you? You're not too sure of it, you just use that word a little encouraged. I'm saved and encouraged to go all the way to the Lord. I do not say that it's wrong to say that.
But I am saying what I know the devil will say. You say, looks like he's kind of trading that encouragement for your sanctification. A little easier to say that, isn't it? Brother Crowley brought the Lord gave Brother Crowley a message the other night, and he didn't have any negative, that's the word, isn't it? Positive and negative. He didn't have any negative statements in it. He said, shall. That was his word. He said, shall. Now, my burden today is positive statement. I am. Oh, dear one, we are privileged to have the most solid thing on earth. That's right. Teaching at all. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am in the church of God. I am in the church of God. Oh, how the devil, dear one, may try to tell us we're not right. You know that? How many times bluff is that? One carpenter I was paying out on the job, and he said, there's one thing I don't like about some people, he said, some religious people. They try to teach that you can't go out and fight for your country. You know the devil knew that out there. Try to put up a great big wall there, see? In front of me, so I kind of will a little. I said, God, that's the way I believe. I believe that. I do not believe in going to war and fighting with carnal weapons. A Christian cannot do that. It takes more courage to live one day a Christian life than it does a month right in combat. And I've been in both. You just do the best you can when you're not the other mixed up. But all by the grace of God, you can do just what you could. In this way. Well, he said another thing I want to talk to you about. What if people that teach that you can just be married once? Said, don't even know the scripture. People that teach like that, you can just have one wife. I said, John, that's all the way. I believe that way,
John. I want to show you how the Lord lit my candle. I'm coming up to this. I wasn't trying to show him how good I was, but I was doing the best I could to hold up what I understood about the Lord. And the next day he left that evening trying to feed me, and he said, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. He said, I went home and told my wife that I met a man that believed like I always did. Teaching a Sunday school class, too. He's teaching a Baptist Sunday school class. And he said, but Dave, he said, I got into so much trouble trying to teach that marriage. He said, I didn't quit teaching it. But he said, I believe it just like you did. The Lord lit my candle. The Lord lit my candle. The devil had tried to say, you hit him pretty hard there. You hit him pretty hard. My own brother said, when I was talking to Jehovah's Witness, said, you really give her both barrels. But the Lord knows our hearts, and He'll light our candle. He'll light our candle. Oh, you'll be faithful to the Lord. You won't be able to do very much, but the Lord will light the candle. You get to worrying about your influence and worrying about this mess, you'll be the most miserable person going. One brother said that just take so much joy out of it, it's just miserable trying to live for the Lord. One young woman kind of came to me, we married, and we talking to her about her soul,
And she told me, she said, I tried it one time. Said I was just miserable. You know, I never have seen that situation that people's miserable when they got saved. I never have believed that now. I've done some things that told me to be miserable, but that's between the Lord and I. I mean, that is just be different than that. But the life of a Christian is not to be a miserable life. That's right. Was not intended for it to be that way. It was not intended when you get saved, that's the end of all your joy and your cake. Oh boy, I run around with the drop and said, Dad, don't see what you're getting out of life. Just go to church and just go to church and just go to church. Well, I want to testify that I am glad I can go to church. Thankful to do it. Get a joy out of it. I know the first part of this week, well, Brother Charles, and we had a job going and said we just got to get it. We just got to get it right after that job. We can make it this week. We'll get it. I come over here to a meeting that night. Next day I went back and told him when I shut this job down. When I shut this job down, God did not look at me. And all of a sudden, Brother Teddy and Brother Charles Smith, we worked together. And we come over here to the meeting. It was time to wait for us to come, and we're glad we're here. Glad we're here. I do not see the life of a Christian being a galling yoke that some talk about. That young lady said that she was awful miserable. And I just told her this. I said, I'm quite confident the reason you were miserable was that you would not follow the Lord. You would not follow the Lord. And she confessed that that was the trouble. She just wanted to have the blessing of salvation without turning loose to the world. But oh, dear ones, if we're sincere about this thing, God will help us. God will keep us. I must desire the thought. God said, I am that I am. To Moses. Jesus said several occasions, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. There was just no question about it, was there? That's my burden this afternoon. I am. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am in the church of God. And I'm going to add one more little verse up here. I'll call it a verse. Goes out on there.